heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com, here bringing you your team every day. Today's show is all about Dan Gilbert. Greg Schwartz of Bleacher Report is my guest. You can find him on Twitter at CavsGregBR. And we're going to talk everything Dan Gilbert, everything we know about the Cavs' offseason to date. You will hear him say that Deion Waiters has signed a deal with the Knicks for 3 years and $50 million. That is not true. Greg just got that mixed up, so scratch that from your memory when you go through that podcast. But I think you'll enjoy this conversation about Gilbert, how the Cavs got here, and how this team has really been built. And if you haven't heard, the Celtics added Gordon Hayward. We'll be covering that and how that impacts the Cavs in the coming days. And as of yet, the Cavs don't have an official GM yet, so perhaps we'll get some sort of announcement about that on Wednesday. But today's show about Dan Gilbert, about his ownership and how the Cavs got to this point. Greg Schwartz of Bleacher Report is the guest. Hope you guys enjoy and have a great Wednesday, and hope you had a great 4th for those of you in the States.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to start with how we got to this point, not what's exactly going on, we'll get into that, but I just want to put Dan Gilbert's tenure as Cavs owner in some context. He buys the team from Gordon Gund. He's, you know, the money behind the first LeBron era, really, the spending it until, you know, they lose and LeBron leaves, and he sends the letter, of course. And then I just think, like, in terms of how we view who now, how we got to the second LeBron era, to the point we're at with Griffin and Chris Grant and everything, I don't know how, if this is unfair at all. I haven't, like, totally thought about every little detail of this, but I think the Cavs got very lucky in how they were able to set up the second LeBron era. The Clippers pick that turned into Kyrie was not supposed to be, like, anything that good, right? Their own pick, right, would have been Tristan. You know, they botched the Bennett lottery. Like, that's not a great draft, but, like, you picked Anthony Bennett. That was a bad use of that pick, and it wasn't really even an asset. It was just sort of, let's deal him because you can't. And then, like, with the Wiggins, like, they were not supposed to win the Wiggins lottery, which ended up being the piece they needed to get Kevin Love, right? There's a lot of luck involved in just the fact that LeBron James, like, grew up 45 minutes an hour from Cleveland. Like, these things are very lucky. I don't think the Cavs actually, like, have ever gotten more competent. I almost just think, like, LeBron smoothed a lot of the stuff over for a couple of years, and then we're seeing, like, some of the fraying again now.
Yeah, I think when you look at this era of Cavs basketball, you can pretty much trace it to two things. Number one, you can trace it to LeBron, and number two, you can trace it to getting lucky, which essentially is the draft picks that you hit on. If you look at Kyrie Irving, where it was the Clippers pick that they got, why the Clippers didn't make that a protected pick? Why they let that be unprotected just for us to take a
God bless bad GMing. Just God bless bad GMing.
Yes, that was a godsend for the franchise. If not, well, I think about that sometimes, because let's say you don't make that trade, or you make that trade and it's protected, and you're sitting there at number four, you probably still don't take Tristan Thompson. I assume you take, like, Brandon Knight or Kemba Walker at that point. Kemba is fine, but he's taken a couple years to get defined. because he couldn't shoot for like his first 4 years as a professional. And now he's a very good player. But, you know, at that time, 3 years in, 4 years in, does LeBron look at those players and go, that's who I want my primary running mate to be if I come back? I don't know that he does that. So They got very lucky with the Kyrie Irving pick. Like you said, with the pick that got Andrew Wiggins, I think it was a 1.7% chance they were going to get that pick. They had the ninth best odds. I think that was the year they won like 33 games, so they weren't one of the worst teams. And for them to get that and draft Andrew Wiggins was great. That was also the draft that I remember it came down to Wiggins, Jabari Parker, and Joel Embiid. Embiid had the injury, so you kind of ruled him out. And then Parker came to Cleveland and just completely bombed it on purpose because he didn't want to play for the Cavs. So, yeah, that made things pretty easy that, we're going to draft Andrew Wiggins here. And then I think when LeBron looked at that and said, okay, well, we have a star with Kyrie and we have, you know, either star and potential star in Wiggins or somebody at least that's going to be, you know, very valuable in trade. You know, that was obviously huge for the franchise. But like you said, if LeBron's not born in Akron, where does this Cavs team stand right now? Because there's no way that Kevin Love gets traded to the Cavaliers. I think that was discussed in the Return of the King book where they called Kevin Love's agent and they said, you know, would he be interested in signing here long term? Because we will give you the first overall pick, but we don't want to do it if it's just, you know, for 1 year. And his agent, Jeff Schwartz, said no. No, he does not want to come go from Minnesota to Cleveland. No, that's not what he wants to do. And then, of course, what changes everything? LeBron. LeBron changes everything. He comes back, and then Kevin Love is good there. So there you go. There's the core of the team. It's possible, one, because they got lucky with Kyrie, and two, because of LeBron, they got Kevin Love. So, yeah, if you're looking at Dan Gilbert and you want to give him any credit out of assembling this team, his ability to spend money, you know, I don't think you can do that.
He's always sort of been willing to spend on certain things. Like, he's spent on the roster. He's not spent on the arena, which is a whole other thing. But he's never re-signed a general manager, right? Like, he has never decided, okay, like, I'm going to re-sign Danny Ferry, or I'm going to re-sign, most notably, I think, in Cavs fans' minds right now, would be David Griffin. You can understand Chris Grant. Like, you know, he probably deserved to get the axe at that point and all this stuff. But it's just, like, it's very telling that he is, like, not re-signing anybody. Like, I maintain throughout this whole process and throughout the last 8 years or so, like, I feel like we've learned more, like, just about what Dan Gilbert is as an owner, more so than a lot of things. Like, we know he's not going to be very hands-off. We know he's going to be very involved. We know he's got kind of he's going to respond to certain things. Like, we know he, I think, certainly has ideas about things that maybe don't necessarily mesh with the common path. And it was just, like, very telling to me, like, when you watch that one video LeBron had with 2 Chainz and Draymond in that barbershop on All-Star Weekend that came out a couple weeks ago. Like, it was like his family, like, didn't want him to come back because of Dan Gilbert, you know? Like he's the good guy, and, like, he's just so polarizing. And, like, I can understand to an extent, like, why people want to, like, just support everything with the Cavs. Like, if you're a Cavs fan, like, I can understand you just want to make everything seem good. But I think, like, when you really get narrowed down into this and throughout this process throughout the last couple of years, I don't feel like we have any, like, really good proof that, like, when it comes to the actual basketball stuff and the running of, like, of a structured, calm, disciplined, chaos-free organization, I don't think there's any really proof that Dan Gilbert's, like, the guy to lead a team like that. Like, he's not going to be a Peter Holt. He's not going to be, like, a Lakeup. Like, it's compared, like, the light years quote in the New York Times is, like, nothing compared to some of the Dan Gilbert drama we've seen in his run as Cavs owner.
I love that you used the words calm and chaos free. When was the last time that the Cavaliers were calm and chaos free?
After the title. Like, after
not
the
in
title.
My lifetime, I don't think so.
It was the title. Yeah, it was like the 3 days after the title.
We had 3 days, and then, like, Kevin Durant said he's coming to Golden State, and then all the attention shifts on that. And yeah, then everything goes to hell again. So, yeah, calm and chaos free. Oh, I wish the Cavs were calling KFC. They wouldn't be as fun. I'll give them that. But yeah, when you're looking at, I just think Dan Gilbert's a guy that obviously he wants to be in control, and he's very powerful. He's very wealthy. I just feel like the best owners are the ones that you don't know their names. You know what I mean? You look around the league and who owns the San Antonio Spurs? Well, if you went to the average...
Yeah, they don't know. Right.
Right. If you just you ask the average NBA fan, hey, who owns the Spurs? They don't know. Like, you would know the Cavs. You would know the Mavericks. By now, I think most people would know the Warriors just because they've been in there. The Clippers with Steve Ballmer kind of taking over and showing his face. But I just feel like the best owners, you don't know who they are because they're smart enough to say, look, if I've gotten to this position, I have accumulated all this wealth through other business ventures, except for Michael Jordan. Like he's the only one, that's the only majority owner that, you know, has risen to his wealth through basketball. Everybody else is through an alternative means. So I would prefer them to say, I'm going to hire the smartest, the best person to run my franchise, if that's a general manager, if that's a president, if that's whatever their title may be. It's different for every team, whatever. I just feel like that is what a good owner does. And they say, I'm going to sign the checks. You know, I'll be willing to go into luxury tax if it means, you know, it's going to give us a better chance to win. And I just feel like, if you look at the last couple weeks, we don't have a general manager. We don't have anybody officially running the front office. Chauncey Billups took 3 weeks to decide he didn't want to work for Gilbert. He was left with no candidate he was talking to after that, which, again, makes him look terrible. And the only time we see his face is where? At the White House.
Okay, so where were you when you saw
him? He didn't go for the Cubs celebration, but...
he was there for the Detroit thing, which is, like, commendable. So I was, like, at work, and I was, like, eating at my day job, and I was, like, I was either eating lunch or was just, like, being a bad employee and, like, looking at Twitter.
Right.
And I was just like, what the hell? Like, literally just, like...
Yeah.
Like, politics aside, like, remove politics, like, the actual Trumpian... things of it, and there's like always, I was, as a side note, I always find it very funny that when like I read there's like a Windhorst story about like the background of the Cavs GM search, and it was like Dan Gilbert response to stuff in the media. I'm just like, huh, like the optics of doing that on its own two feet are just like a dumb decision. You haven't signed a GM. Your star player,
nope,
who is the most powerful player in the league, who doesn't probably really like you anyway, right? Is a like a no. open like Clinton supporter is very like disheartened and is very like liberally politically spoken. Why are you like, and it's the team that beat the Cavs. Like, even if you were there for something different, which in truth he was, why even like take the chance that someone is gonna like see you with Trump and have Trump call you like a friend, right? Like that, like why? That's just
right.
that's just like a dumb PR move.
Well, it's. I mean, everything – I mean, Dean Gilbert should have one goal right now, right? Don't piss off LeBron James. Like, that should be number one on his board. He wakes up in the morning. He goes down. He makes some coffee on his whiteboard in his kitchen. Number one, do not piss off LeBron James. Like, that's it. That's it, because you're looking at the value of your franchise. He's going to be a free agent next summer. Like, yeah, you know, hire a GM. That's on there. Save Detroit. Save Cleveland. Own half of the Midwest. Yeah, those might be on his whiteboard too. Do not piss off LeBron James. That's got to be number one. And going to the White House, yes, for something completely different. LeBron James is a pretty big – well, he's a Yankees fan, number one. But he's a type supporter. And then you're showing up with the Cubs. You just knocked the Indians out of the World Series. And then you're showing up with Trump after LeBron's been at Hillary Clinton rallies last year. My God, could you do something that looks worse to your star player, to the man who – is responsible for, you know, tripling the franchise value since you've taken over. I mean, Dan Gilbert's got to be smart, but that's not a smart move. And I know that happened a while ago, and I don't want to talk about it a long time, but yeah, I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't believe it when I saw it. And just the Billups thing, too, was really interesting, because that was when the negotiations were going on. I want to say that was like when we learned that Billups had made like a counteroffer to Gilbert. And we find out on Monday that Billups has removed himself from the job. He played in the big three game on Sunday. Ice Cube trolled the Cavs about it on Twitter.
Oh, God, that was great.
It was great. Good tweeting. Good, like, great tweeting from Ice Cube. The problem, like, with this is, like, okay, you had a guy who was in for everything we understand, and, like, I saw him at the finals, like, kind of, like, walking around. Like, he was, like, there. It was very clear that he was there. Like, and not just, like, in ESPN. Like, he was, like, talking to people. And people that are more informed than me, and, you know, like, were actually saying, like, yeah, he was getting himself in front of Cavs brass and, like, pitching himself. Like, before there's even a job opening, this guy was like, yeah, like, I would like this job. Like, I would like to be involved with you guys, right?
Right.
Dan Gilbert has a relationship with Chauncey that is, it's not like they just met for the first time. It took you, like, how long to decide, like, we're in a free agency when you find out that Billups isn't going to take the job. And how do you just not, try to expedite this? Like, as you're trying to trade for Paul George, as you are trying to sign free agents, like, I think right now, and I know some people will differ on the Melo thing, which we should get into, but, like, I just don't think right now there's, like, actually, like, a functional available move for the Cavs anymore that actually could, like, retool their roster and change the DNA of the team a little bit. And I also think, like, there were... Like, it's not all on Gilbert and Kobe Altman for not, like, pulling off the Paul George deal, because we know Indiana, that surprised not just the Cavs, but also the Nuggets. But, like, if your job is to, like, try to make that happen and that's what you want to do, you kind of just, I feel like, have to try to do everything you can in any capacity to try to make that done. And when you're caught off guard like that, that's really odd to me. That's again, not on all on them, but there has to be some culpability there. And I just wonder, like, if Gilbert's, like, trying to do all of this, like, it's just weird to me. Like, that's how you're going to approach, like, what is a very pivotal offseason.
Well, how do you not have a backup plan? How do you not have a plan B? Like,
we're going to give you.
Yeah, we're going to give you, you know, 3 days to decide, take some time, talk to your family, you know, decide if you want to move from Denver to Cleveland, like, do all this. And then they don't even have a backup plan. Like, oh my gosh. Before we get into that, I got to read Ice Cube's tweet. Because I saw that this morning. I laughed out loud. Yeah, here's just Ice Cube just casually on Twitter posting a picture of Chauncey playing in the game. Once a baller, always a baller. Mr. Big Shot passes on the Cavs for the big three. Watch him rain fours tonight on FS1. Oh, what a slap in the face. Like, Ice Cube just trolled the Cavs so bad.
Yeah.
Passed on the Cavs for a 40 and over 3-on-3 basketball league that will probably last 2 years and then die.
And the games aren't even there. It's not even like the games air live. Like, they air the day after they're played until the finals.
What a slap in the face.
What a slap in the face.
I mean, like, I feel like this is like, had we not won a title in 2016, like, that, you could add that on, like, the mini list of, like, great moments in Cleveland sports history. Ice Cube trolls Cavs on Twitter. Chauncey Billups, with no experience, is offered a job and says, no thanks. We could start forming another list now, post 2016 disappointing moments, and those two would be right up there.
Right, and, like, so many of these things are tied to Gilbert. You know, like, rehiring Mike Brown was basically just like, yeah, I didn't think I actually had to fire him the first time, so let me hire Mike Brown again, right? The Comic Sans letter, like, the rumblings of disconnect with your star, like, just all these things, like, some way, like, tie back to Gilbert. And it's just like, it was so, like, from the moment this offseason started, when we've learned that David Griffin in his statement was like, yeah, we didn't even get to talking about money, which, like, was like, he understandably deserved a raise, right? Like, he deserved, he was asking for, for a raise. Like, didn't even get to money. It was just like, yeah, like, basically it just seems like he didn't want to give up as much control and say as he was having. And like, if you can't just, like, if you were gonna, like, hire somebody, like, are you, if you can't trust David Griffin with a job he's done and everything, like, who are you really gonna ever, like, be hands off with, right? Like, who actually could you be hands off with?
Yeah, David Griffin isn't from Detroit, so that's, you know, long was he gonna last? Let's be honest. He didn't go to Michigan State. He's not from Detroit. He's not from Michigan. How long was he really gonna last? I just think it's if you look at Gilbert's history, he's always like gone for the big fish, settled for the little fish. Like with 2010, tried to get Tom Izzo through. Oh, yeah, Tom, come in. You know, he interviewed for $7 million a year. Tom, you know, leave Michigan State. Come, come. And he considered it. He considered it. But at the time, didn't know what LeBron was going to do. So he went back to Michigan State. You look at 2014. They get David Griffin, right? So they get him, and then they're like, all right, David, you know, we gave you the GM job, but we still want to get a like a president slash coach in here. So why don't you go fly to Kansas and talk to Bill Self about, you know, him being your boss? Why don't you go to Florida and talk to Billy Donovan? Why don't you go talk to Mike Krzyzewski? Coach K is really going to come to the Cavs. When LeBron, you don't know if LeBron's coming back or not. And I mean, just every like, major college coach, like what a slap in the face for Griffin at the time for Dan Gilbert to say, hey, fly here and talk to this guy. Fly here and talk to this guy for people that weren't just going to coach. They were going to have power in the front office as well. And you know what? Good for David Griffin to walk away. I'm sure that's not what he wanted to do, but man, that working for Dan Gilbert cannot be easy, especially if you're going through that power struggle every single time. The fact that, you know, they wanted to hire all these other guys, they didn't have him as the top, or they didn't make him the official general manager for a while. He had the interim tag. The fact that Dan Gilbert, the owner of the team, doesn't even come to his press conference when he's introduced as the team's general manager. I mean, what, does any other team do that? I mean, just the disrespect over the years from Dan Gilbert to David Griffin. I don't blame the man for leaving.
I don't either. I wonder what's next for him. Like, I really do wonder, like, what will be next for him. And, like, I just wonder what situation, like, he'll – because he will get a job again. Like, there's no question in my mind that, like, he will be, like, a team president, you know, sooner rather than later.
Well, we heard rumors about the Knicks, right?
Yeah, which is interesting. I don't know if, like, but it's like, would you want to leave Dan Gilbert to go work for James Dolan?
No.
Right?
Yeah, like, might be the one. Yeah, might be the one step back you could do.
Yeah, I think, like, Milwaukee would have made sense. Like, Orlando would make some sense. It'll be a team, I think, like, he can, like, if I was him, I'd be waiting for the job. Not just, like, in the location I want, but, like, that I can actually shape. You know, like I can,
well, that's
like,
the thing. He interviewed with Orlando, mm-hmm. like during the playoffs, right?
I feel like I read that. Like he, I think they denied him access to interview with Orlando.
No, they did. They did deny him, but I think he did anyways. And then I'll look it up. I'll look it up. But I'm pretty sure I read that he interviewed with Orlando, and like was hoping they would at least like offer, and then he could use it as leverage. But they didn't offer him the job, so that kind of, like, put him on the wrong side of the negotiating table. I'll look it up. But I'm pretty sure, like, that was a thing. Yeah, they reached out to the Cavs, and the Cavs said no, but I think he did anyways, which I don't know if that's illegal or not. I don't know. But, yeah, I'll check on that for you. Yeah.
While we're doing that, like we'll wrap up the Gilbert talk, and we'll get into some other off-season-y stuff. But... It's like very interesting that he was the guy who was like helping take calls to me. Like that's really interesting that he was like one of the guys like talking with teams. Like that was really interesting to me that he and Kobe Altman were talking to teams, and like I just that's like also odd to me, you know. And I just wonder what that puts on the table. Like there's the Windy thing where he's on the radio. He said Gilbert like shiny things, and Melo says he'll wave his no trade calls. I don't know what you think of this. I don't think it's worth giving up any of Kyrie, LeBron, Avi, Kevin Love, should be obvious, but some people it's not, and Tristan Thompson for Carmelo Anthony. There's just no way I think I would part with any of those guys. I don't think Carmelo, like, for either Houston or Cleveland, is, like, the kind of guy you want to target for a goal. It's like, yes, he might be better on defense if he's not having to do all of the scoring and if he's engaged more, right? He's going to help with scoring, but I don't think, like, everything the Cavs, what they need, I don't think, like, Melo is, like, really, like, the kind of thing they need, and I would be very, very hesitant to give up anything of actual value to get Carmelo. I would just, if you want to get him, I think you just kind of want him to get bought out. That's like the only way I think you really should be pursuing him, unless the Knicks are going to take a really, really low offer, which would be like a heavily protected 2021 first round pick and like Channing Frye and Amon Shumpert's contracts. Like, that's about all I would do. And that's just, I just don't really know if it's worth giving up anything for Melo.
No, I don't think it is either, because I mean, in any negotiation, you got to say, okay, who has more pressure to get this deal done? I think there's a little bit of pressure on the Cavs just to, you know, try to bring in another big name and get Paul George, then get Jimmy Butler. You know, Melo, he's not as good as those guys, but close personal friend to LeBron. You know, you see him in all these workout videos. He looks like he's in good shape. You know, workout videos, of course, are, you know, can be misleading, but he'd be a guy that I feel like has a few good years left. And playing next to LeBron James, alongside LeBron James, could really elevate his game. I think you would probably see his best defensive effort playing for a team that was likely going to go to the finals again and had LeBron next to him. I feel like LeBron wouldn't feel bad saying something to him if he noticed he wasn't defending. And that's really one of the major knocks on Carmelo Anthony. I mean, the problem has always been, how do you match up the salaries? How do you do that? And like you said, you're at this point, anybody that, you know, wants to trade Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony should take one hand and slap themselves, because that's not going to happen. Absolutely not. Anybody that's still, well, let's just trade Tristan Thompson for Carmelo Anthony. Well, then you have a team that plays absolutely no defense and no interior rim protection. That would be a disaster. You might score 120 and you give up 130 a game. So that's not going to happen either. And then the next big contracts are all the former Knicks that you got from them. If you look at J.R. Smith, if you look at Amon Shumpert, why would the Knicks want them? The Knicks already have the greatest shooting guard in the history of the NBA because they just signed Deion Waiters tonight. So they don't, they
wait,
don't need
did
that.
Did they really?
They have Deion now. Yeah.
Oh my God, I missed this.
Three years, $50 million.
I'm in love.
That's yeah. I mean, Deion's obviously worth three or four times that much money, but you know, yeah, 3 years, $50 million for Deion the night.
Oh my God, I gotta.
That was from Knicks media too.
Whoa.
So,
I'm
yeah,
all
you
in.
Should check that out. That's I know. I thought he might go back to Miami, but
I kind of hoped. I kind of hoped he would,
Knicks.
But maybe like that meant maybe that means they're gonna like pick James Johnson over him, I guess, but.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're... I love Deion. Deion's forever. Just like, but it's also like crazy to think about. It's like if the Cavs would just get lucky on like one other thing, like some of the problems of the first era, like might have been wiped away. You know, like if it's if like they win the Anthony Davis lottery, you know.
Oh wow!
You know.
Wouldn't that have been nice? That was the draft the Cavs called him and said, hey, we'll give you our fourth pick, our other first round, both second rounds, if we can move up to one. Like, that was a serious offer that they made. The Pelicans, then the Hornets were like, nah, I think we're good. I think we're going to take this Davis kid. I think he's going to be all right. Yeah, the Cavs offered all four draft picks that draft, and surprisingly were turned down. Yeah, but anyways, back to Melo. Yeah, I mean, who are you going to send back? You're not going to send... They're not going to want Shumpert and J.R. Smith.
Right,
I think
right.
The only way you make that deal work is if you bring in a third team, someone who would. I don't think you're going to trade J.R. I don't think anybody really
no,
wants J.R.
Smith. No, you'd have to be
Shumpert.
It would have to be Shumpert. It would have to be Channing Frye. Like, you have two guys that I think that would be worth the moving if you're going to get Carmelo that way.
Yeah, and even then you'd have to throw in another piece, right? Because that brings you to about 17. I mean, you're getting close. Do you have to throw in Richard Jefferson then too? I mean, that's a lot of chemistry and a lot of bench help that you're throwing in for him. So, I mean, that's three of the biggest members, you know, not counting Kyle Korver, that's three of the biggest members of your bench if you do that. So then you got to fill that roster spots too.
Yeah, it's not like an easy thing with it. I'm going to run this trade to make sure like that it's – because I think I did this earlier, and I want to be sure. Because it's like after Frye, who's making 7.4 on the last year of his deal next year, Jefferson's the next highest player at 2.5.
Right.
So, yeah. So, right. So, if you do Shumpert and Frye, like a deal centered around those guys, you would need to add another almost $4 million in salary, right? So, like, Kay Felder,
yeah.
Like, it's probably – like, it actually has to be Richard Jefferson. because you can't trade Korver, nor would you. You can't, like, trade any of the guys you might be re-signing. You can't trade Tavares right now based on the trade machine. So you're getting to Felder and Richard Jefferson, which you're trading four players for one guy.
Yeah.
And, like, two of them are, like, your two biggest, like two of your three biggest chemistry guys on your team.
Right. And players that are still productive, too. I mean, Richard Jefferson is 52 years old, but he's still pretty good. I mean, he was one of their best players in the finals. Even if he's good. I mean, we don't even know for sure that he's coming back. He could still retire, right? Channing said he's coming back. We don't know. Richard Jefferson could retire.
Yeah, he's been like
he said he was going to last year, and then he changed his mind.
Yeah, per Snapchat, he's been enjoying some bars. So, I mean, I think he's probably doing okay.
Yeah, he's probably doing just fine.
Yeah, definitely.
So at this point, I feel like the pressure is on the Knicks because, I mean, is Carmelo all of a sudden going to be happy that Phil Jackson's not there? Because the Knicks, are they making the playoffs next year? Probably not. I mean, unless Dion balls out and Kristaps, you know, becomes a superstar, which could happen. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And even if they are, they're going to lose in the first round. I mean, they're not a team with title aspirations anytime soon. The only thing I can think of is, could he agree? Because the second year is a player option, right? He is, I think it's 26 and then like 27 or something like that, or 28 for the second year. Could he say, I will agree to a buyout and you only have to buy out the first year? Like, I will waive my player option, you do not have to pick that up. Like, you don't need to buy out my $55 million. You just need to buy out my 26. You know, give me 20 of the 26. I'll save you $6 million. You can play your young players. I'll go somewhere else. Like, could he do that?
Or like they could stretch him. Like, that would kind of be the thing. It's like, could they just stretch him and make it easy for both sides, give him choice? Because I don't really know what Houston would offer either.
Ryan Anderson.
But it's
like, if you're looking at a team that's going to make salaries match, they got to do Ryan Anderson and someone else, right?
I'm gonna just again, but even like them, it's like, okay, Ryan Anderson's at 19, which I guess I didn't realize he was making that much. You'd probably like Ryan Kelly, and then, you know, this is why like Morey is great, because he gets all these like really contracts.
I mean, it would have to start with Ryan Anderson and then go from there, unless you want to trade Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza, but I don't think you want to do that.
No, I mean, like, so per the trade machine, you could do, like, Anderson, Ryan Kelly, and Sean Long for Anthony. So, like, two really short contracts that are worth nothing. Probably, I think, non-guaranteed on both, I would assume.
Right.
And then Ryan Anderson, who's 3 years. Good shooter, like, has a good value, and would be kind of at least like, bad defensively, but fun next to Kristaps. Greg, let's wrap it up on this. The rest of the Cavs is offseason. We don't really know what's exactly to come. They still do have to appointed GM officially, even though it seems like Kobe Altman is the guy. A guy I haven't talked to, but he's very young. Worked under Griffin and Trent Redden, so I mean, you know, I'm sure he was at least well schooled. And seems to have, I mean, per Tom Withers of the AP, seemed to impress Dan Gilbert throughout this process, which I guess will get him like 3 years of the job experience before Dan Gilbert hires somebody else. But what do you want out of the rest of the summer for the Cats? Like, what would you say? Like, they've already, for not really in a great move in my opinion, signed a backup point guard. They have Chetty to figure out. They have roster spots to fill. What do you think they need to be doing the rest of the summer?
Well, I mean, you struck out on your big moves, unless you consider Carmelo a big move. But again, I wouldn't do anything with Carmelo right now. I'd wait a little bit with him. I'd see if there's going to be a buyout coming. I'd see, you know, just try to listen to that. I'm sure LeBron and Carmelo are talking, right? They have to be talking. They typically go on one vacation a summer with Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade. I'm sure conversations will come up as to what they're thinking. You know, not that the Knicks would buy him out if he wanted to be bought out. They don't have to do that. But I'd monitor that situation. I was very happy that they brought back Kyle Korver at $7 million a year. I thought that was really nice, especially when you look at JJ Redick, who got three times that much. Obviously he's a little bit younger, probably a little bit better player at this point in his career, but, a guy, you know, just a knockdown shooter. You can run him off screens. For him to get 23 and Kyle to get 7, I was very happy with that for the Cavs. I also thought man, if you get cheap with Kyle Korver and you say, yeah, we'll give you $5 million, and he's like, well, the Sacramento Kings are offering me 15. Like, why would I take your five? And he left and he walked over money. Oh, that would not be good for LeBron. I don't think he'd be happy with that. That was one of the prerequisites for any team that wanted to sign LeBron prior to in 2014, right? They had to have an owner that was going to go into the luxury tax and pay that. And anything they pay right now, anybody they sign, obviously is going to compile that luxury tax. I think it doubled their luxury tax bill from, it was like 20 to 40 million now that they signed Korver or something to that effect. And, you know, obviously they have five more roster spots to fill. So that luxury tax bill is only going to go up. But I thought, man, if nothing else, you got to sign Korver just to keep that message going to LeBron to say, hey, look, we're willing to spend, you know, because it's not like if they don't sign Korver, they can use cap space to sign somebody else. No, it was either sign Korver not sign anybody because they're already well over the salary cap levels. So I thought, you know, bringing him back was good. It would keep LeBron happy. Jose Calderon, I don't really understand that one, especially if you look at some of the free agent point guards that are still out there. You know, not they couldn't get a George Hill, obviously, but, you know, if you wait for a while, Rondo's a guy that's more talented. I don't know if he would fit in with that locker room. I don't know what his relationship with LeBron is. Certainly he's a better defender and a better passer than Jose Calderon is at this point. I just thought there was maybe five or six point guards that are better than Calderon that could be had. So I was confused why they jumped on him right away, especially for a team that needs defensive help. After that, it depends. I mean, is Richard Jefferson going to come back? If he doesn't come back, then you have a hole. You need to make a decision on Derek Williams. I would love to see Derek Williams back. Would Derek Williams want to come back? He wasn't even used the last couple months of the year. You would think for a guy who's 26, who wants to secure some more finances before he retires, he's going to go to a team that he's going to get the best contract and the best shot at playing time, even if it's just a one-year deal, you know, a one-year prove-it contract, kind of like he signed with the Miami Heat and then fell out of the rotation there. I think he's going to try for that again. I'd be very surprised if he agreed to come back to Cleveland on a minimal deal, unless he didn't have any other offers. But I would like to bring him back, certainly. After that, you need perimeter defenders, and you need somebody that, you know, isn't going to stop Kevin Durant, but it can at least take him for a couple minutes and give LeBron a rest, especially if you're not going to pull off any big trades. That was the number one thing I was excited about if they could get Paul George was, oh, thank God we have this guy that, you know, he could, you know, make his specialty guarding Kevin Durant. And, you know, if he scored, that was great, but that would finally take that pressure off LeBron and he wouldn't have to do that. You know, we saw glimpses in the finals where, you know, Richard Jefferson would go out there and even guard Kevin Durant for a little bit. And all of a sudden the Cavs offense was much improved because, you know, LeBron was saving that energy on that end. So you got to look for perimeter defenders. I don't know if, you know, there's not a lot out there, certainly not to the caliber of Paul George's stance. Do you look at a guy like Tony Allen, who's 35 years old, and, you know, he's been one of the league's best defenders the last 10 years, but he's only about 6'5" and getting a little bit older. There was rumors that they were going to go after Zach Randolph. He's still a free agent, very productive last year, had four very good games against the Warriors last year too. But again, how much is he going to play if you're already going to play Tristan Thompson 30 minutes a night? You're going to give Kevin Love 32, 33 minutes a night. Channing Frye is a guy you like to play. I don't know how much he's going to play there too. So you got to be smart with your mid-level. You only have $5 million to use. Like you said, if you want to bring Osman over from Turkey, you want to play him. Certainly that would be a nice spark off the bench to get a young guy there, but he's not a guy that's going to guard Kevin Durant in a finals rematch. So every move you make this summer has to be, how does this help us close the gap against Golden State? How does this help us beat the Warriors? If it doesn't help you beat the Warriors, if it makes you better to play the Toronto Raptors or the Washington Wizards, who cares? Because the East is still getting weaker. You're still the best team in the East. You're still going to go to the finals if everybody's healthy. How does this move help you beat Golden State? If it doesn't, there's no reason to make it.
100% agree. It's why the Calderon signing doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And looking at the rotation guys left, like, James Johnson would be great, but are you getting him for the minimum? And how much of the mid-level would you have
probably
to use?
Probably not.
Right? Like, Tony Allen, Can you get him for the minimum? Will he leave Memphis? Probably not. Thabo. So you're getting to Thabo Sefolosha, a very one-way player in the opposite way that the Cavs have. You know, Justin Holiday maybe would have been worth a flyer off the board. You're getting into guys, like, you can't afford to even take a cheat. You can't even, like, get in the conversation for restricted guys like Jonathan Simmons or Roberson, right? Like, so you're calling Mbah Mute. You're calling Vince Carter, which is hilarious, right?
No. not that Vince is, I don't mean to laugh at Vince.
He's 41 years old. And, like,
If you're calling somebody older than Richard Jefferson to come in and help you guard the Warriors, that's a strategy that's probably not going to work out too well for you.
Right. So, like, and maybe they do deal Shumpert, and maybe, you know, they do get a rotation guy that is a defender, but that seems like a big ask. This is not easy. It's not an easy position for whoever is the GM, and it looks like, again, Kobe Altman. It wasn't even easy for David Griffin either, but this feels to me more normal for the Cavs, just the uncertainty, the chaos of it all. It feels more normal to me than some of the calm. Even, like, the regular season apathy, this chaos just feels more normal. I feel like that if it, and it feels true with a lot of people I've talked to, don't know if it's 100% true with you, but that feels more normal, and that's not great. That is just, like, that is not a good sign of your franchise.
No, I mean, we expect chaos at this point. I mean, good chaos, bad chaos, either one. I mean, that's what we expect from this team, and certainly that's what we're getting. What does it tell you, and I'll say this because you mentioned Mont Schumpert, what does it tell you when you have a guy who, I think he's 26, he might be 27, but still fairly young on a team that's the oldest in the NBA or close to, whose specialty is perimeter defense because he doesn't give you any offense, and there's talk of trading him for nobody. For a trade exception, for a pick, yeah, that I get it. You flip that, you know, eventually. But what does that tell you about Armand Shumpert when your number one, arguably your number one need on this team is perimeter defense? You have a guy who's young, whose specialty is perimeter defense, who doesn't have a terrible contract. Not like he's making $15 or $20 million a year. He's right about $10 million. What does that tell you about Armand Shumpert that this team is willing to flip him for nobody? And you got to think that these players read this. I feel like it's going to be a couple of, if he did not get traded, to walk into media day late September in just a couple short months from now, and you know those questions are going to come up. Oh, Kevin, how'd you feel about when the Cavs wanted to trade you for Jimmy Butler? How'd you feel when the Cavs wanted to trade you for Paul George, knowing that he could walk out? I mean, that's got to be stressful for him. It's got to be stressful for Montrevere. Oh, how do you feel when the Cavaliers want to trade you for nobody? I just feel like we're just setting ourselves up for, like, this awkward. Now, talent-wise, they're still good enough to go back to the finals, but this offseason is not leaving a good taste in your mouth, certainly already. I feel like you almost have to make a move with some of these guys just to, like, kind of save face and bring in somebody else, but just their options are so limited now after the George trade and the Butler trade that you have to monitor the Carmelo situation. I think you have to monitor the Dwayne Wade situation. I think he's guaranteed to be traded or bought out by February. But after that, I think you're going to get creative, which, you know, would be a lot easier to do if you had a general manager. So, yeah, another interesting summer in Cavalier land.
Chaos, to quote Lord Peter Baelish on Game of Thrones, chaos is a ladder. The Cavs are always climbing the ladder, eternally, just climbing the ladder of chaos, because that is what they do. Greg, as always, man, it has been a pleasure, and thanks for coming on the pod to talk through a lot of this.
Oh, thank you. Anytime.
Just tell everyone real quick where they can find you on Twitter if they aren't already.
Twitter handle is CavsGregBR. I'm on there, and then all work can be found on Bleacher Report.
Yeah, and we'll be back with a summer league preview with Trevor Bagnati tomorrow. Hope you guys enjoy that. A little less serious than some of what we talked about today. But for myself and for Greg, this has been Locked On Cavs. Talk to you again soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.